This is Mike Tilley with Robin Collier of KCEI, 90.1 FM, Red River Taos. And we have with us Dr. Lawrence Lazarus, MD. He is the co-author with Dr. Jeffrey Foster of Insider's Guide to Quality Affordable Healthcare. Under that is Practical Strategies to Navigate Our Complex System and Save Money. And I think we all need to have that. And Dr. Lazarus, welcome. Just for our listeners, remind our listeners that we recorded Dr. Lazarus' reading and Q&A over at the Opsit Bookstore. And I think that was for about an hour and a half, wasn't it, Rob?
Yeah.
So a lot of information there. Well, welcome again up from Santa Fe. We appreciate it. The book actually is not out. I guess it, at this point it looks like April or...
Yeah, it's coming out in April on Amazon. And so you can just go on Amazon.com sometime in early April and it should be available.
And what's the title going to be?
It's Insider's Guide to Quality Affordable Healthcare.
Right to the point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, this is a huge issue for everybody. I mean, healthcare is a major expense, or it's a major bureaucratic journey if you're poor and have to go get through Medicaid or Medicare or some other kind of insurance. So you do need some help, like what your book is offering, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that a lot of people are not aware of, how they can get quality health care and not have to exhaust their savings. And so the book tries to make health care a bit more understandable to the average person because it's a very complex system. After the Affordable Care Act came out, which was President Obama's really stellar thing that he did as president, it was very confusing for the first couple of years how it actually worked. But it's been a very positive thing for a lot of people who had trouble getting health insurance, really quality health insurance, before Obamacare came out. But, of course, it's very, very expensive.
Yeah, and in New Mexico, particularly northern Mexico, because of the income levels of a lot of people, one of the major benefits was the expansion of Medicaid. Medicaid is for people who are disabled or low income. They can't afford real health insurance, and they get covered depending if their income is low enough. And both Mike and I are on Medicaid. We don't make a lot of money in this business of radio, basically. Yeah. And so that's been a big, big boon. I mean, before the Medicaid, a lot of people that had a major medical issue had to go on the indigent funds or go totally into debt. Well, Mike, I mean, for example, had a major medical thing, and it was just nightmarish because he couldn't afford to pay for it. Mm-hmm. They kept billing him, and it was a very difficult thing to solve. Medicaid has made that a lot easier. And then, of course, Medicare is for those over 65. You pay into it out of your paycheck. And so you paid for it all your life to a certain extent. But it doesn't cover as many things as Medicaid. For example, Medicare does not cover dental and optical hardly at all. Mm-hmm. And so that you still have to look at getting some kind of other supplemental insurance to cover things that it doesn't cover. Now, what is your key secret that you're going to reveal in this book that people can do? I mean, how would they navigate? Let's say they're maybe middle income, they maybe make $40,000 a year maybe, and so they would be purchasing some insurance through Obamacare. How do they navigate that?
Okay, well, let's maybe start with people that have a job, and they're able to get insurance through their job, or they're over 65 and they have Medicare, or as you were talking about, a lot of people, because of the expansion of Medicaid that our former governor supported, mm-hmm. it provided Medicare for more people in New Mexico. In fact, more than half of the population of New Mexico is on Medicaid.
Oh, really? It's that large? Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fortunate because not every state expanded
No.
Medicaid.
No.
And fortunately, New Mexico was one of the states that did, which permitted a lot more people who couldn't get on Medicaid before to qualify for it. They made the requirements easier, and so it was called the expansion of Medicaid. Uh-huh. New Mexico, like every other state, had Medicaid, but thanks to Obama, he offered states the opportunity to expand it, and it's fortunate that New Mexico was one of the states that did that.
Right.
So if you have government insurance or you have an employer that provides insurance, and most employers that have large employers are required to provide insurance. But let's talk about the people that fall sort of in the cracks.
Don't qualify for Medicaid.
Right.
They don't have an employer that pays their insurance. They have to come up with it themselves. What do they do?
Okay, so let's take a person that's self-employed.
Right.
Has his own business, has he or she or has a small business, and they don't qualify for governmental insurance. So one of the options is to buy into insurance through Obamacare.
You're right.
The problem there, though, is that the deductible is very high. If you get a good Obamacare policy, sometimes the deductible is like $3,000 or $4,000 before your insurance kicks in.
Explain what that means in practical terms.
Well, this thing called a deductible, it applies too with Medicare and most insurances. So it's like car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If you have car insurance and you have collision insurance, you usually have to pay out a $500 or $1,000 deductible before your insurance kicks in.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing with insurance.
For medical, yeah.
For medical insurance, most insurance policies, commercial, private insurance policies, have a deductible. And there is some ways around that, which I'd like to kind of talk about. Because if you have a high deductible, people that pay, say, $300, $400, $600 a month for an Obamacare policy, if they have a deductible of say $500 or $600 or $1,000, that can dissuade people from even going to the doctor. In fact, a recent study showed that about 20% of Americans that have good commercial insurance try to avoid seeing their doctor because they have to pay out of pocket. So what are some ways?
And that's not a good thing because
no.
You could have a condition that's developing that if you intervened early, could be solved. Instead, it has to get to such a serious thing that you force yourself to go to the doctor, and then it might not be curable.
Yeah. Well, before Obama left office, around that time, there was another kind of insurance that came out, and I don't recall the name of it. It's connected to Obamacare, mm-hmm. but it has very little or no deductible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is they didn't want people to wait until they were very sick to see their doctor. So there is a kind of Obamacare policy that kicks in right away, and you can see your primary care physician without having to meet a deductible. There's another way of dealing with a deductible. Say a family of four has a high deductible, and they have to reach that before their insurance kicks in. Now, suppose two or three family members have some medical problems and they find out from their doctor that it can wait, say, 5 or 6 months to take care of that problem. So one strategy is if you have a high deductible and you've got two or three family members who have some illness, but it's not that serious that it can't wait. Say somebody needs elective surgery. Somebody else in the family needs a tonsillitis. I mean, has tonsillitis and needs to have their tonsils removed. So one strategy is to wait until the following year when you know you're going to need a lot of health care, and then you save money during the previous year knowing that you're going to have to pay out that deductible before you can have these procedures done.
Because the deductible is an annual deductible, basically.
Yes, every year you have to meet whatever that deductible is. But if you can hold off, I mean, you shouldn't decide that on your own. You should talk it over with your doctor. If you need to have some elective surgery, that's going to cost a lot of money, and somebody else in the family has a problem that the doctor says, well, that could wait until next January.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you pay out of pocket those monies, and then once you've done that, then the rest of your medical care is usually covered by about 80% or more.
Right.
Now, there are other strategies too. Another strategy to save money is to negotiate the fees. Whatever insurance you have, or if you don't have insurance, you can negotiate fees. I mean, if you go in and you're going to buy a used car, and you see a price on the car, and it says a certain amount of money. How many people take their checkbook out and say, all right, I'll buy that car?
Whatever you ask.
And they pay. And so when it comes to medical care,
you can do the same thing. You can negotiate.
You can. But some people think that you shouldn't talk money with doctors. It's sort of almost a religious thing. You're going to a doctor, you shouldn't talk about money. And when you're sick, you just want to get help.
Right.
So the cost of medical care is the last thing on your mind if you're very sick. You just want to get well, and you don't even want to bring up the issue of money. But it's not a bad thing to do because...
I've seen some surveys showing that the fees that hospitals charge vary widely. I mean, the same procedure for one patient is one quarter of what it is for another patient. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on whether they're covered by insurance or so forth. So they'll oftentimes charge a lot to someone who's available to pay that, and then they'll actually take a loss on someone else's. So that just shows you the hospital is willing to take all different range of fees.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because fees are negotiable.
Yeah.
And if you're going to need some expensive procedure, it's good to be very specific. Well, what's this going to cost? And what part of it will my insurance cover? And what part am I going to be responsible for?
What alternatives
are
there?
Yeah, and are there some alternatives? And there are a lot of alternatives. You can go to get medical care at the University of New Mexico, for example. Or you can go to a lot of very, very good clinics in neighborhoods.
Right.
In Santa Fe, we have La Familia Medical Center, where fees are based on a sliding scale, what the patient can afford. Now, to get back to the issue of hospital fees, there was a law that was recently passed that hospitals have to have their fees
posted.
Transparent.
Yeah.
They have to post their fees, which I think is a good thing because, you know, you just want to know what the fees are going to be and how you're going to handle them. Once you know what the fees are, you can begin negotiating right away. You could say, well, you know, my insurance is going to cover so much, I'm not going to have the rest to pay. So is there a payment plan? Or if I have some financial stress on me, is my portion going to be negotiable?
Right.
Can I work something out? And keep in mind, hospitals and doctors don't like to keep fees that are owed them around a long time,
no.
because they know the longer it stays on the books, the less likely they're going to get paid. So they're willing to negotiate with you, even after you've had your, say, a surgery at a hospital and you get bills. Those bills are negotiable. And if you have some financial problems, you shouldn't be ashamed of mentioning that I just can't handle this now. Can we settle for something less? I want to meet my responsibility.
Right.
So there are a lot of ways around having to pay exorbitant amounts of money.
Right.
One thing I'm always curious about is that when you go in maybe you have the flu even, and you go in, and then all of a sudden, the nurse take your blood pressure, and then you're transferred to somebody else that does something, some other specialist, and you're not really even sure who the doctor is. You're going through four or five people, and I keep thinking, how much is this totaling up? Because if you're paying every individual specialist, it's starting to get expensive.
Well, in that situation, when a doctor wants to refer you to another doctor, it's good to ask a lot of questions. Why do I have to go to another doctor? Is it something you can't handle? How is this going to work with my insurance?
Right.
And again, don't be shy about talking about money.
Right.
I mean, we all have to deal with it in some ways. And the more you learn about it, the more prepared you are. Now, there's another aspect of this, too. If you're not feeling well after some major illness or some surgery, you don't have to negotiate these things on your own. You can have a family member help with the negotiation. In fact, a lot of older people now realize that they need to have what they call a patient advocate, especially if they don't have family living nearby or they don't have a family member who is good at negotiating or understanding the system. The system is so complex that especially older people find it very helpful to, if they don't have a family member, you can hire somebody to be the negotiator for you.
And it'll save you more money than you pay them.
Basically. Right. And there are also companies that you can hire to negotiate, say, the remaining balance on your bill. And some of these companies just take a very small portion of what they're able to negotiate on your behalf.
Right.
There are a number of national companies that do that.
Okay. What about dental care and optical care that aren't covered by some of these insurance plans? I mean, even some of the paid insurance plans don't cover those. What do you do about that?
Okay. Well, I can tell you my own recent experience. I had my eyes checked because I'm now a bit over the age of 50. I like to think of the being over 50 as the new 30, or they say the being over 70 is the new 60 or something. But I had my eyes checked, and I got a prescription for new lenses. I went to an optician, and just to change the lenses. Of course, I wanted to get scratch-proof lenses, right. et cetera. They said it was $650 to get a new set of lenses. I'd have the same rims and everything. It really struck me as a lot of money. I asked my sister, and she said that's what she had to pay recently.
Yeah.
But they did ask me, do you have optical insurance? And I had never heard of optical insurance. But then I also went to my dentist who thought I should have certain procedures done, and it was going to cost like well over about $1,500. So I found out there is dental insurance. One of them is called Delta Dental.
Yeah, that's a popular one.
And I took it out. About a month ago, It costs about maybe $35 a month, but you can't use it for the first 6 months or so. So what I have to have done doesn't need to be done immediately. My plan is to wait until the insurance kicks in, and then I'll have the dental work done. If it was something I had to have done immediately.
Wouldn't have helped, yeah.
So it's a shame that people that have Medicare usually doesn't cover optical care and dental care unless
they carry it covers the basic dental, like a filling, yearly cleanings. But for example, it won't cover a bridge. It won't cover a root canal. You know, so those are expensive.
Or implants, obviously.
Implants.
Yeah.
Crowns. Well, it won't cover.
Well, if you have some injury to your jaw, let's say, and you need some kind of surgery, that it would involve some dental work also. Medicare will cover that too. When it comes to all these expenses, that there's another strategy. If you're employed, there's something called a health savings plan, where you can put in a certain amount of money every month, and some employers actually will
match it,
will match it, or also put in a certain amount of money. And this health savings plan. Well, there's two kinds. There's a health savings plan, which I'll talk about after I describe this other thing, which is. Let's see. Can you remind me what I just said the first plan was?
I called it a health saving plan.
Yeah. Well, there's another type of plan where you just put money in each month. Hopefully your employer puts in a certain amount. And then if you need to pay your deductible or you need to pay out of pocket for something, you can use that money for that purpose.
Right.
And the thing is, you usually have to use the money in the same year that you put the money in, although they've made some changes to that. Now, the other plan is, I think, a much better plan. It's a health savings account.
Okay.
Health HSA. You can put money in whether you're employed or you're self-employed or whatever. You can put money into that plan, and it's tax deductible.
Okay.
So it could even lower your income tax at the end of the year, depending on how much money you put into a health savings account. And you can take out that money if you need it without any tax. Now, if you don't need any health care over, say, 10 or 15 years, you can invest that money in any way you want. And if you never need to take it out for health reasons, it's like having a second
retirement plan or something.
IRA or a 401k. Yeah. And so a lot of people have gotten into this health savings account. They even have a bank called the Health Savings Account Bank. But most banks have these plans.
Okay.
All right. Well, we have under 5 minutes. Tell us how you choose a doctor, a good quality doctor.
Well, there's a lot that goes into that. You want to have a doctor that your intuition tells you has a real concern about your health and knows about preventative things that one can do, like stop smoking, weight reduction, things we're all aware that we should do, but many of us don't do that. But one thing is to have a doctor who you really feel is
listening to you,
spends the time with you,
explains
things to you in a way that you understand. And if you don't understand, there's no reason not to. Can you explain that in more simple terms? I don't understand. Yeah. I think a second thing that it's good to keep in mind, you might want a doctor who's younger than you are, who's going to outlive you, and also a doctor who's not going to be moving out of town in the next year or two, because changing doctors is a very difficult thing to do. Once you have a good relationship with a doctor, you don't want to lose that doctor. A second thing, you want to know the background of that doctor, not necessarily what medical school or what they went to, but did they get some additional training after medical school? Do they have training in family practice or internal medicine, for example?
That's current with current new practices and so forth.
Yeah, and you want a doctor that you have a sense they kind of keep up with the medical literature, that they keep up with new medications that are coming out.
Well, how do you research that? How do you find that information out?
Well, you ask friends,
okay.
For example, if you have people who are in the medical field, or you know a nurse at a hospital, a good question to ask, well, who do the doctors and nurses see here in this town? I mean, if you keep hearing the same doctors' names mentioned over again, and health professionals tend to gravitate to the better doctors.
That's a good sign.
That's a very good sign. You could also just enter the doctor's name on the internet and get the information about their background, where they trained, how old they are, things like that. You can also call the New Mexico Medical Association. Mm-hmm. They have a list of doctors, and they are in a position of making referrals. Say you want to have
particularly for specialists, for example.
Yeah, if you want a doctor specialized in internal medicine, they tend to be very skilled at people that have pulmonary, lung, or heart disease. So you it's good to have someone with some special training, like an internist, which is usually has their boards in internal medicine. There's a psychiatric society that's located in Albuquerque. It's the New Mexico Medical Psychiatric Association. They have a list of psychiatrists and other mental health professionals in different communities throughout New Mexico. So again, getting back to the car analogy, before you buy a used car or any
car, you'd look at a bunch of them.
You want to check it out. You want to have a test drive. You want to do some research.
Right.
Where could you get, say, the same car that might be in better condition? So now, when you go to see a doctor, you don't have to feel that you're committed to continuing with that doctor. You want to test drive that doctor and have a visit and see if it's a match.
Right.
We're running
out of time.
Sure.
Obviously, your book has many more tips like this that's going to be coming out. So go over some of the subject areas that it's going to cover quickly here, and then again, give the title and how people could get it when it comes out.
Okay. Well, thank you. The book title, as you've mentioned, is Insider's Guide to Quality Affordable Healthcare. By insiders, the book is written by two doctors who have been in practice more years than they might want to admit. Between the two doctors, we've been in practice, each of us for more than about 35 years, so you can figure out how old we are. So chapter two is devoted to ways of reducing healthcare costs. The book also covers how do you choose a doctor, why it might be important to get a second medical opinion. There's a chapter devoted to that, and when you want to consider getting a second opinion, which in some cases can actually save your life.
Right.
There's a chapter about alternative medicine, kind of the Eastern practices like acupuncture, the use of herbs, the use of massage therapy. So that chapter is called When East Meets West.
Okay.
When Eastern practices, which are very effective for certain conditions, when do you consider those type of approaches, and how can you get the benefits of both more traditional Western style medicine with Eastern practices? Meditation is another very effective.
So okay,
treatment.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up. It sounds like you cover a whole range of topics.
Yes. Okay, let's close again. Our guest has been Dr. Lawrence Lazarus. He's co-author of Insider's Guide to Quality Affordable Healthcare, Practical Strategies to Navigate Our Complex System, Save Money. It should be out next month on Amazon. Dr. Lazarus, thank you for coming up from Santa Fe. Appreciate it greatly. Again, we've just going to have to have
scratch
you come.
The surface. Yeah.
Scratch the surface. And this is Mike Tilley with Robin Collier of KCI 90.1 FM, Red River Tiles.